Please take your Bibles and open to Psalm 119. No, we are not going to read the entire chapter. Psalm 119. And if you would, turn to verse number 41. But this morning, here we're going to start in verse 41. I'll read verse 41, then please join me on verse 42 and every other verse down through verse 48 this morning out of Psalm 119. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. The title of the message this morning is, Give Me Liberty. Give me liberty. It sounds like some famous words, don't they? They sound like, give me liberty. I'll talk about that in just a minute. I guess the older I've gotten, the more I like history. I guess that just stands to reason, right? Because a lot of your life is history. But the more you get old, the older you get, the more history becomes interesting. I didn't really care for history in school. I was like math. You know, I always liked math. It came natural. I loved it. But history, as I grow older, it is very interesting. And especially when I got to go to Boston and Lexington and Concord, go to the Minuteman National Park that's there, and I stood at the spot where Paul Revere was arrested. They arrested him. William Dawes was the other writer that got by and was warning two people. They were trying to warn Samuel Adams and Benjamin Franklin that the British were coming. You know, one if by land, two if by sea. This last week on the 4th, actually, I sat down and got to read a book of patriotic, bunch of different excerpts. Paul Revere's own words about his ride and what took place. It's really interesting to read all of that. These things all happening in 1775. Well, these words give me liberty. As I look back at, we just talked about our 249th birthday as a country on Friday. We're entering into our year of our 250th year as we progress until we look forward till the next, Lord willing, the 4th of July when we celebrate 250 years. But as we look at the history of the country, and I think about the Declaration of Independence and what brought that about, and the separation of the colonies from England back during those days, there's a famous person that we all know that quoted the title of this message, Give Me Liberty, and I have his speech here. I'm only going to read a little excerpt from it. Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry is famous for this speech, and it was on March the 23rd in 1775. It says, it was at the Second Virginia Revolutionary Convention meeting at St. John's Church in Richmond, Virginia. That was on March the 23rd, 1775. So even before the shot fired heard around the world, this speech was given on the floor of this meeting. And I'll just give you a couple quick excerpts from it, because, again, I think it's interesting with history. Patrick Henry said, and he was a great orator, just like Thomas Paine, also who at that time wrote a pamphlet that circulated called Common Sense, and that came out at the very beginning of 1776. And it was this speech and that pamphlet that took a lot of those people that were on the fence, whether or not, I don't know if we ought to try to break from England or not. You know, they were some people that weren't for sure. Other people were convinced, like Patrick Henry here, about the separation from Great Britain. And he says, no man thinks more highly than I do of the patriotism as well as abilities of the very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed the House. But different men often see the same subject in different lights, and therefore I hope it will not be thought disrespectful to those gentlemen if, entertaining as I do, opinions of a character very opposite to theirs. I says, I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve. This is no time for ceremony. The question before the House is one of awful moment to this country. For my own part, I consider it as nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery. And in proportion to the magnitude of the subject, ought to be the freedom of the debate. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God and our country. Should I keep back my opinions at such a time? Through fear of giving offense, I should consider myself as guilty of treason towards my country and of an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings. Now, this is towards the end of his speech. I'll jump. He says, there is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to deserve it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clinking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And those are the famous words of Patrick Henry is the, as he spoke that, just in March of 1775. Short time after that, then we had the Battle of Lexington and Concord, and then the Battle of Bunker Hill in June of 1775. I spoke on Wednesday night about how the Continental Congress was assembled in Philadelphia and how they ratified the Declaration and then voted on it. It's interesting that as the men that wrote it, I'm going to just read one little snippet here about the Declaration of Independence. It's quite interesting about the men and how they assembled and when everything happened. I usually try to make it a habit every year on the 4th of July to sit down and read the Declaration of Independence. And I've gotten to see it, too, the actual one at the National Archives, you know, under the thick glass and everything. So they say on National Treasury, it's there. And I got to look at it, along with the Emancipation Proclamation and the Magna Carta and all those other famous documents that are there at the National Archives. But this one, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Everybody says, oh, Thomas Jefferson, right? Well, on June the 7th, 1776, so we fast forward now, it says Richard Henry Lee brought what came to be called the Lee Resolution before the Continental Congress, and they were meeting in Philadelphia. This resolution stated these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states. Congress debated independence for several days. The Committee of Five, and here's the Committee of Five, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, Robert R. Livingston, and Thomas Jefferson, they were given the job of drafting a formal Declaration of Independence, and they gave the task of writing the document to Jefferson. He had good handwriting, and he had actually a very good way with words. Now, in the writing, it says, the Declaration contained three sections, a general statement of natural rights theory and the purpose of government, a list of grievances against the British king, and that's quite a list. If you haven't read them, you got to go down and look at all the different things that the king was doing. I mean, he was arresting people, and then to try them, he didn't try them there. He shipped them over to England to put them on trial. I mean, there was a bunch of crazy things that were going on. And it says here, there were a list of grievances. It says, Jefferson's writing was influenced by George Mason's Virginia Declaration of Rights, as well as by his study of natural rights, and then also by the writings of John Locke, including two treaties of government. Franklin and Adams edited Jefferson's draft, and the final document was presented to Congress about 2 weeks later. It's interesting that in Jefferson's original draft, he had for the abolition of slavery. A lot of people don't realize that. Thomas Jefferson didn't want slavery. He put it in a lot of secular historians try to pin Thomas Jefferson as being, he didn't want it. And a lot of the founding, they didn't want it. But it got edited out, and he couldn't do anything about it. The final document was presented to Congress about 2 weeks later. So on July the 2nd, which is what was Wednesday night in 1776, the Continental Congress voted to declare independence from England. Congress made several changes to Jefferson's draft, like I said, including removing references condemning slavery. On July the 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted. John Hancock, president of the Continental Congress, signed it that day. The rest of Congress, signed it 2 months later, back in, like August the 2nd. By affixing their names to the document, the signers courageously placed to each other their lives, fortunes, sacred honor. They put their name on the list was basically if they were defeated by the British, they'd be hung for treason. Boy, they hated John Adams, too. Even if they had made peace, they still wanted John Adams. They still wanted to hang that guy. They didn't like some these people. So the history of our country is it began back in 1776 in this declaration. We cry out, just like Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. And the message is give me liberty. And we look in this verse. Look at verse number 45 of the passage we read this morning. The verse, the psalmist said, and this entire psalm, of course, is just referring verse after verse to the word of God, scriptures, the law. He talks about the law, thy statutes, thy testimonies. And verse 45 says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Did you know that the truth of the word of God, truth liberates? Truth liberates. And we're going to get on to that in the message. But first of all, two short little points today to mention. This is all by way of introduction. But the first point this morning is we thank God for our country and our freedom. I mean, think about it, what we have. Freedom of speech. Freedom to worship. To pursue life. And liberty. Happiness. Just take a moment with me, and as I've tried to do, take a moment and try to just imagine for a minute not having those things. Just try to think of being in another place where they don't have these freedoms. Just being able to leave your house when you want to, go to where you want to, not have to file any papers or reports, not like a lot of countries where they've outlawed a Bible. I read excerpts in Sunday school class last year. I remember we were in the Minor Prophets, but I was talking about the Bible and about how a woman had smuggled to her pages of Scripture, one page at a time. And she would take the page of Scripture and memorize it, commit it to memory, and then would dissolve it with soap and water when she washed her hands to get rid of it. She did that. That's the only Bible that she could have. But the fact that you and I have Bibles, we don't have to worry about anybody breaking into the service and interrupting our service because we have liberty. We have freedom. But we must never forget that the freedoms that we enjoy were purchased with blood. They're purchased with the blood of others. I think that all of us we might be guilty at times of taking our country and our freedoms for granted. I know I do. We just take our freedoms for granted. The very first time I was out of the country, I referred to before back, I think it was 2004. I think I went to Argentina with their pastor. And it wasn't long before I realized that the policemen in Argentina weren't honest. You know, and that's an unnerving feeling when the people who are supposed to be the honest authorities and the upholders of law are crooked. Then it gives you an unsettled feeling. Like, who am I going to turn to? They just wanted to pay it off. The missionary there told us they get pulled over if a light was out. They didn't really want anything other than you to pay them money. That's what they wanted at the time to let you go. I think about our freedoms that we have and our laws and those that enforce the laws in this country. We take all that for granted. Brave men and women, they paid the price on battlefields so that we might have liberty. And we've heard the trite saying, but it's true, freedom isn't free. It costs someone. Brave men and women, they paid the price. I like the saying, I would see it many times about this time of year when I would deliver UPS. I'd see a lot of different doormats. One of the doormats and signs I always liked was, the home of the free because of the brave. And I thought, I like that saying. men and women that sacrificed, and they gave the ultimate sacrifice. And if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., and been through Arlington National Cemetery, I mean, just as far as the eye can see, the tombstones, and then go to the wall in the Vietnam, all of those different memorials that are there, just memorial after memorial. It's very sobering. And I remember our daughter, Lisa, she couldn't leave the ceremony of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And they have the ceremony of the changing of the guard. And she was just captivated by that. And we just basically pull her away from that because of the aura that's there, the sense, again, the respect and honor for those people that have served and given the ultimate sacrifice. And our children, I think over the years, have said out of all the places they'd been, they said they'd go back to Washington, D.C. rather than, you know, Disneyland or Grand Canyon is. We want to go to Washington, D.C. Well, because of our history and those that have labored and fought. But secondly, we thank God for our spiritual liberty. John chapter 8, turn there quickly with me this morning. New Testament, John chapter 8. And as Jesus was speaking with the Jews there, John 8, verse 30 through 32, I'll read just a short passage. And he spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. There were Jews there that listened and believed that he was the Messiah. And he spoke these words to them that believed on him. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth liberates. I think it's amazing and by the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When, back over, you don't have to turn there. I'll just quickly read two verses in John chapter 18. When Pilate was talking with Jesus, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Wait a minute. Did you realize everybody today searching for truth? He was looking square at truth. Pilate was looking into the very eyes of truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. The word of God is true. And that's the reason why in the opening passage we read that passage out of Psalm 119 where it says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The Bible says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. God's word is true from cover to cover. It's inerrant. It's without error. And I think it's interesting how, as I thought and have meditated for a long time about some of the contrasts that we see in our nation today, things that are right before our eyes in the media and what's happening in our country in these days, we see the stark contrast between what Satan wants for people and what God wants for people. God wants people to know the truth, but Satan wants people to believe a lie. There's a contrast. There's light. God gives light. The word of God is a light. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And that's what the word of God does. It shines the light so that we might know the right way, that we might know right from wrong. The world, the devil wants to try to get that all muddled to where it's relative and there's no definite, there are no absolutes. Wait a minute, those people that believe in there are no absolutes, I'd like to look at their checking account and say 500 plus 500 equals 400. And they'd say, no, 500 plus 500 equals 1,000. No, today I feel like 500 plus 500, you got $400 balance. They wouldn't like that. Well, this is the way I feel. This is the way I see it from my vantage point. I mean, you got to see with me. I mean, it's all relative, right? No, it's not. It's the word of God is true and it's absolute. A man's a man, a woman's a woman. I mean, did you ever think you'd live in a day where people were confused about such an obvious thing? The truth of the Word of God. In the beginning, God created, what, male and female. It's simple. It's not hard. But yet today, the lines want to get blurred and smudged, and we have outright lies. And outright lies are trying to be fed to people in the name of truth. And the deception is there because Satan wants to deceive. He wants to bind because of falsehoods and lies. But the truth liberates. Truth dispels falsehoods. It's hard things. You know, facts are very stubborn things, are they not? And I like what the Speaker of the House said when after the conclusion of the bill that was signed recently. He said, it takes a long time to manufacture a lie. He said, you can tell the truth in just a short time. Simple, simple truth. Good statement. Well, there's truth, there's lies. There's light, and there's darkness. There's life and death. Today in our country, people are celebrating death. People like skulls and crossbones and death and that. I mean, it's like, okay, that's not godly. How do we know? Because Jesus, he's the life. He's life. He's opposite death. He conquered death. And thank God for that, because he conquered death. We also, there's going to be a resurrection. Death is swallowed up in victory, he said. Life over abortion. There's a way. Jesus said, I'm the way. There's so many people that are aimless because they don't know the truth. They have any direction. Think about how Jesus gives clarity and order. The world wants chaos. Did you notice the opposite of order? Law and order? What's the opposite of that? Chaos, anarchy. Everybody does what they want to do. Well, we see that before our very eyes today, and the contrasts are very stark. Truth, Jesus is truth personified, and we thank God for the spiritual freedom that truth brings. I thank God for being able to hear the truth of the gospel and accept it myself and be saved. In this country, I had an opportunity. And here, I mean, really, literally, I grew up two blocks from a Baptist church that was proclaiming the Word of God. Why? I was born in this country, in America. I spoke Wednesday night a little bit about that. We had no control over where we were born. You could have been born in some part of the country where there never was a Bible. There were no churches. How is it that we're so, you say, we're lucky? No, we're not. We're not lucky. We're blessed. We're blessed of God. And we have to count our blessings, as preacher tells us to do all the time. Count your blessings daily. It sure will help you to get over a complaining, griping, bitter spirit. And when you start thinking, listen, don't look at what you don't have. You have to look at life as what we have. And the things that are so precious to all of us, our life, the liberty we enjoy, freedom and spiritual both, but the Word of God and the truth and our promises, heaven is our home, and we know that. But it says the promises in the Word of God in Romans chapter 8, the great chapter that Paul wrote in Romans. That's probably one of his greatest letters that Paul ever wrote, was the book of Romans. We'll get into that later in the Sunday school and when he wrote that. It's really interesting. But he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God I've got liberty and freedom as a believer from the law of sin and death. I've sinned. Oh, yeah, the wages of sin is death. That's the law of sin and death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I thank God for that freedom and the liberty that truth gives. Truth liberates. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Paul said to the letter to the Galatians, where people were being troubled by false teachers that were telling them there was more they had to do to be saved than just trust Jesus. They said, oh, no, you got to keep all these other laws. Paul said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We talked about that in Sunday school, this yoke a bondage that the Judaizers wanted to put upon the people. Say, no, salvation isn't just by grace alone. No, no, you've got to do all of these other things. He says, don't let anybody tell you that. Don't let them sell you a bill of goods. He said, it's basically, the Greek word is hogwash. No, not really, but he was very vehemently opposed to that. Thank God we have freedom because of the word of God from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and ultimately one day the very presence of sin will be free. The liberty that's in the truth of the word of God. See, Satan doesn't want us to be in our Bibles and to learn the truth, because ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And he said later in John chapter 18 and verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You're free. You say, well, it's freedom isn't freedom or the liberty to do just as I want. That's what people say. And you'll be amazed if you go and look at different people's definitions of what freedom is. There's some wacky ones out there. It's like, that's not freedom. I don't know what they're talking about, how they got. No, freedom is the liberty for us to do as we ought, to do right. It's not to do. You say, oh, I got freedom. I can do everything I want to. It's like the person said, I got freedom to swing my face. Yeah, but fists in the air like this. He says, yeah, but your freedom of your fist ends where my nose begins. See, people don't understand that concept. There's a responsibility. Did you know freedom? There's a responsibility that each of us have on us because of the freedoms. I mentioned Wednesday night again. I keep referring to it again. I said one of the things that I think that I get most convicted of is the fact that the Bible makes it so clear that to whom much is given, much will be required. Think of what we're given. What are you given? What am I given in this country? Our freedom. But what are we required to do with the freedom? And just the same with our spiritual freedom, it didn't come cheaply. It wasn't earned by our own merits. Anybody in here feel like they earned salvation? It's owed to them. Yeah, I've lived good enough, I should be saved. No, it wasn't earned by our own efforts, morality, or religion. It was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So listen, whether we're talking about the flag or the cross, the flag flying over us stands for our country. We're thankful to God for the freedom. The cross, it stands for our faith and reminds us freedom always has a price. But listen, just quickly, I just listed off a few of these things that really we're responsible, because of our freedom, we're responsible for these things. Listen, we, number one, should use freedom to glorify God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. We have the freedom to do that. We can do it. We have freedom. There's nobody keeping us from taking our Bibles and reading it. Nobody's keeping us from praying for other people, for our leaders, as we mentioned again Wednesday night. Secondly, we not only use freedom to glorify God, but we use it to stand for the truth. You can stand for that which is right and stand up for truth. In Matthew chapter 5, it talks about we're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And we should shine and be a beacon of truth, and people should look to us and know there's a difference in our life, and know that we have words of truth. We can guide them and lead them to show them the light and show them the truth. Thirdly, we need to pray for leaders in our country. Because of the liberty that we have in this country and as believers, we need to pray. Pray for our leaders. Remember that we lead a quiet and peaceable life, right? I always said I like peace and quiet. We'll pray that God would guide, bless, protect our leaders, our country, help people to turn to Him. We should also vote. The freedom that we have a responsibility. We should not shirk our responsibility and say, oh, I'm just going to leave that to other people. I don't care. Listen, we have a responsibility to participate wisely. Fifthly, live peacefully and respectfully. Support the persecuted church. That means those others in other parts of this world where their churches are persecuted, people are being persecuted for their faith. It's amazing to see the stories and hear the stories. I know Mrs. Parton speaks of it often about the voice of the martyrs, and she talks of other in other areas of the world. It's not simple as it is here, folks. And I guess in our generation, just having been born in America, like I said, two blocks from a church and seeing church, I went to college down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where there were literally, you could go across the city, tee off a golf ball, and you could hit every church. I mean, there's a church with that close of each other across the entire, I had to get that in there. I had to get go all across the city, it's filled with churches on every corner, it seemed like. The Bible Belt. We're blessed, but we need to support others in other countries that aren't. And then share the gospel boldly. We're not going to get persecuted. We think persecution is somebody says, oh, I don't want that, and hand us back a track. Oh, I've been persecuted today. No, I don't think so. But that's what some people think. We're free to serve. Free to serve God. And we can serve the Lord. So he's given us the ability and the freedom to do it. Secondly, freedom to stand, and then freedom to shine. We need to be a testimony for the Lord. So those are our responsibilities. I close with the song Penny played last week in the offertory. Great song. I love this song. It's called The Statue of Liberty. In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky. And all who see her know she stands for liberty for you and me. She's completed in 1886, by the way. It took 10 years to build. I just read this last week in a book. I was thinking, that's cool. 10 years to build it. The guy who did the inside structure and the works, his last name was Eiffel. Anybody recognize that name? Same guy did the Eiffel Tower, and he also built another copy of it, a smaller version over in Paris, the other Statue of Liberty. But this, it was very expensive. 1886 is when it was completed in New York Harbor. And the court, I'm so proud to be called an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. Wish I could sing it. But on lonely Golgotha stood a cross with my Lord raised to the sky. And all who kneel there live forever, as all the saints can testify. I'm so glad to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransomed and whole. As the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty, for it was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that a rugged cross is my statue of liberty. See, and I will walk at thy, he says, the verse, and I lost it. Where is it? And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Let's seek the truth of the Word of God, stay in it, ask God to make us a light, to use our freedoms for his honor and glory in all that we do, that the gospel gets out, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is honored and glorified in all we do. Thank God for our liberty. Give me liberty. Let's pray.